ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् महि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु ओम शांति 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 सो एज स्टूडेंट्स ऑफ वेदांत शास्त्रम चांटिंग दीज शांति पाठास एंड ऑल्सो सम Suktams in the very beginning is very good and important. As you know, in Vedic tradition, originally in the beginning, the significance of prayer was, of course, very well known only from the Veda. We understand the efficacy of prayer also only in the light of the Vedic vision only. But the form of worship alone was different. That is why in all our Shanti Pathas, Shanti Mantras, we glorify the Devatas and we pray for our physical, emotional well-being. We pray to these devatas only. The natural phenomena which are looked upon as devatas only are prayed to. Because every devata for us is Ishwaraha. Every devata, everything is Ishvara. Therefore, every devata is Ishvaraha. Naturally, we invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas. So, every devata also becomes acknowledged and recognized. That is why these prayers are really connecting us with devatas around. So, relating to, connecting us with these devatas is also a form of eco-friendly living through our prayers. It's good. That is why I make it a point, whenever we get at least good connections, no disruption, interruption, I don't mind sparing some time for these prayers like our regular classes happening in person. In my Purusha Suktam class also, I mentioned yesterday how Vedas are divided into three main portions. The two ways of dividing the Vedas, we can look at the Vedas as Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha. Vedas as the text containing these three portions, Karma, Upasana, Jnana Kandas. Otherwise, they can be understood as Samhitaha, Brahmanani and Aranyakani. Or you can say Samhita, Brahmanam and Aranyakam. So the Samhita portion of the Veda discusses all forms of prayers to these different devatas, seeing all the devatas as Ishvara, thereby invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas. So all the prayers are contained in the Samhita portion. So Brahmana portion contains the details required for the performance of rituals, worship, the know-how of rituals. The main karma portion. Then Aranyakam is a portion having the Upanishads. Antabhaga. The very word Aranyam means jungle, forest. Which means the enquiry into the nature of reality, the main subject matter of, happens to be the main subject matter of the Upanishads. And it is associated with the jungle. Therefore, the Aranyaka portion mainly presents the the Upanishadic teaching. That's why even though we are studying only, the Upanishad, we do not study the entire Veda, we do not perform any ritual, still by doing these prayers in the very beginning, as Shanti Patas, Shanti Mantras, we have that satisfaction of having brought the entire Veda into our study, even though we do not study the entire Veda. That is why we make it a point to chant the Shanti Mantras in the very beginning. And they are meaningful. Of course, you know very well they are highly meaningful and also effective if we pay attention to what we are chanting with understanding of the meaning. If we can be focused, definitely you can enjoy the benefit of what you are praying for also, even though not immediately, at least sometime in your life, you will enjoy the benefit of these prayers. Because Shastram says, no prayer ever goes without producing a result. Because prayer is an action. Okay, this is all extra information. So today, what I wanted to do is, that I want to throw a little more light on what we have already understood in previous classes. So in the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and the fourth section And there is a 10th mantra. 1st chapter, 4th section, 10th mantra. Presents the teaching of Brahman. And here Upanishad begins implying the very question. And question, and it gives an answer for the implied question. Upanishad begins its teaching giving an answer to the implied question. And this particular section where this 10th mantra is called Brahma Kandika. Why? Because it is this section, it is in this 10th mantra mainly, the Mahavakyam is there. What is the Mahavakyam? Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi Mahavakyam is here only. And in the section, what is made clear is, who is the one? I'm just saying, what is made clear is that, who is the one who can say, Aham Brahma Asmi? Who can say, Aham Brahma Asmi? I myself am the reality. Limitless reality. I am limitless reality, Brahma. Who can express this statement? This is a statement of fact. This is not this is not to be uttered mechanically. It must be an expression of one's clear vision, one's clear knowledge of one's own self being Brahma. If it is a clear expression, an expression of one's clear vision, which means the person is the one who has the knowledge of Brahma. If this person has the knowledge of Brahma, means this person knows the reality being the very self. The question is, who is this knower of, who is the knower? The knower of the world must be the knower of one's own self also. The one who is the knower of one's own self alone can be the knower of the world also. So the knower of one's own self alone can be the knower of the world. For a person to know that there is a world, there must be the knowledge that I am. If the knower of the self alone can be the knower of the world, And who is this knower? If I am the knower, if I am Brahma, then the knower is Brahma. The knower is Brahma. I'm developing one by step by step. The knower is Brahma. Which means there is no knower other than Brahma. If there's no knower other than Brahma, then who is this one who knows this Brahma? The knower of Brahman is Brahman itself. The knower of Brahman is Brahman itself. Why I say itself, not himself? Because the word Brahma is a neutral gender word. Brahman, the knower of Brahman, the knower of the reality is the reality itself. Paramparulai paramparulai arigirathu. Brahman alone knows Brahman. Brahman alone is the knower of Brahman. So Brahman is a nakarantaha, napumsakalingaha, Brahman shabdaha. Therefore I say Brahman knows, Brahman itself knows Brahman. Which means, if Brahman alone knows Brahman, who was, before the knowledge takes place, what was there? Ignorance. Before the knowledge, there is ignorance. If there is ignorance, means who was ignorant? Who knows, who attains knowledge? Who knows Brahman? Brahman alone knows. If Brahman alone knows Brahman, who was ignorant before? Jiva. Which means, before knowledge takes place, there was ignorance, and the ignorant was Jiva. Therefore, it is very clear, Brahman alone enjoys the Jiva status when there is ignorance. There is no Jiva. Jiva is another name given to Brahman when there is ignorance. The one who obtained as Jiva, as ignorant Jiva, as the limited individual Jiva, as the one bound by karma, as a samsari, the one who was there before as Jiva was none other than Brahman itself. So Brahman alone was there before the knowledge takes place also. And after the knowledge, after the attainment of knowledge, or when the knowledge takes place, Jiva becomes Brahma. Means Jiva does not become Brahma. Before Jnanam also there was Brahma. After Jnanam also what is Brahma? But in ignorance, name is Jiva. After Jnanam, there is Brahma. Once the knowledge takes place, so knowledge taking place means what? So Brahma, the reality implied by the term Brahman was. And this ignorance, the power of reality also was partially manifest, partially unmanifest. When the power of reality is there, partially manifest, partially unmanifest, then the Brahma, same Brahma, the only reality, enjoys Jiva status. And the same reality, when the power is totally manifest, it has the Brahma status. In fact, it doesn't attain Brahman status. Brahman is a word implying its swarupam, Brahmatvam. Brahman having the status of Brahman, having the bigness. The greatness of Brahman, bigness of Brahman, limitlessness of Brahman is always there as the very swarupam. But the Jiva alone, the status is there as long as the power of reality is partially unmanifest. The partially unmanifest power also becomes manifest. And there is a total manifestation, then there is no Jiva, there is only Brahma. So before knowledge means before this power of reality, partially unmanifest power of reality is, there power of reality is partially manifest, partially unmanifest, then there is, what is there? Then also Brahman only. Brahman was as Jiva, with its power partially unmanifest. And the same Brahma, the power of partially unmanifest power also becomes manifest. There is only knowledge, there is no ignorance, then there is Brahma. So what was Brahma, what is Brahma, what will be also is Brahma. Isn't it? What is going to be? Brahma. What will be? Brahma. What is Brahma. What was also Brahma. Therefore, when does Brahma become everything? Becoming everything. After knowledge, when the power of unmanifest, partial unmanifest power of reality also becomes manifest, when there is total manifestation of knowledge, we say Jiva becomes Brahma. Then there is, that is how Brahman becomes everything. So before knowledge also Brahman was everything. After knowledge also Brahman is everything. But Brahman becomes everything, we say, after knowledge. So as long as there is ignorance, as long as ignorance is there, means what? As long as the power of reality is partially unmanifest, being partially manifest remains partially unmanifest, then there is no sarvatmatvam or sarvatma bhavaha. Sarvatma bhavaha means enjoying the status of being the self of everything, the truth of everything, the swarupam, having the status of being the truth, the swarupam of everything is called sarvatma bhavaha or sarvatmatvam. Sarvatma bhavaha or sarvatmatvam. Thereby, having the status of being everything. Sarvatvam. Sarvatvam means what? Having the status of being the whole, being everything is called sarvatvam. So, sarva atmatvam, sarva atma bhavaha, sarvatvam. So having a status of being the whole means being limitless. Having the status of being the whole, being everything means being the whole, being limitless. Being everything means being limitless. Being everything means what? Being the space, being the time, and being all the forms, being all the names, being all the functions is being everything. And being everything means being the whole, being limitless. But before jnanam, there is no sarvatvam, there is no limitlessness. Before jnanam, there are limitations. There are limitations. Before jnanam, there are limitations. But was there really limitation before jnanam? If limitlessness is nature of Brahman, how can there be limitation before jnanam? Before jnanam also Brahman was of the nature of limitlessness. After jnanam also Brahman is of the nature of limitlessness. But before jnanam, limitations are superimposed upon Brahman. In ignorance, jivatvam is superimposed. Before jnanam, limitations are superimposed. Before jnanam, in ignorance, the attributes are superimposed. Dharmaha, gunaha, parichedaha, they're all superimposed upon Brahman. So Brahman was never limited. It's a very important lesson. Do you understand? So before jnanam also Brahman was limitless. Brahman was of the nature of limitlessness. After Jnanam also Brahman, Brahman is ever of the nature of limitlessness. That is why it is implied with the term Brahma. So when the ignorance is there, means when there is ignorance, the power of reality is partially unmanifest, then limitations, attributes, everything are superimposed upon Brahma. And the superimposition is what? Adhyaropaha. And why is adhyaropa? Ajnane adhyaropaha. So superimposition of limitations, attributes, you know, impurities, etc., etc., anything, all before jnanam, in ignorance, when the power is unmanifest, superimposed. And after jnanam, they are not removed, they resolve. Okay, limitations are not removed from Brahman. Brahman does not become limitless. The limitation superimposed upon Brahma only resolves. Brahman does not become attributeless. The attribute superimposed upon Brahman become resolved. The guna superimposed upon Brahman become resolved. The impurities and blemishes, punya papas, doership, penjap, etc., superimposed upon Brahman become resolved. Therefore, nothing is attained, nothing is gained, nothing is lost. All the superimpositions are Brahma, which are also superimpositions, also what? And of notion, the thoughts, they resolve. So superimpositions of attributes, etc., obtaining in him of thoughts are possible only when the power of reality in terms of ignorance is unmanifest. When the power is manifest, no more ignorance. There is only jnanam. Therefore, I've already told you many times, ajnanam and jnanam, vidya and avidya are nothing but two different names attributed to the only power of the only reality. When this power is unmanifest, it is given the name ajnanam. When the power is manifest, it is given the name jnanam. When the partially unmanifest power also becomes manifest, as a total manifestation of the power is total knowledge. And the power is totally manifest, there is no ajnanam at all. Therefore, the power when it is unmanifest, it is known by the term ajnanam, also cannot go elsewhere, leaving aside Brahma. Ajnanam also cannot go somewhere far away from Brahma. When the power is unmanifest also, it is very much not outside of, not far from Brahma. Therefore, ajnanam also enjoys its existence. The unmanifest power also enjoys its existence only in Brahma. inseparably it is there, and this power of reality, unmanifest, which enjoys the name Ajnanam, unmanifest power which enjoys the name Ajnanam, power continues to be there when it is manifest also, but it gets a new name, Jnanam, the old name goes. And the manifest also, it is not that manifest power in terms of Jnanam also enjoys its existence only in Brahma. So what is that which lends existence to Jnanam and Ajnanam? Unmanifest and manifest and unmanifest power is this reality implied with the term Brahma. Which is Brahma Shaktihi, Chichaktihi, Shiva Shaktihi. Unmanifest is Ajnanam. That is why Devi is always depicted as very dark. Very dark. And Lord Shiva is very fair. So in India they used to say, suppose the girl and the boy, they have any complex. Oh my God, my wife is very dark, I am very fair. And the girl thinks that she is very dark and he is very fair. We say, don't worry, Shiva Parvati are like that. Fair husband marries a dark woman. Anyway, different thing. What I wanted to understand, this power Shakti alone is what? But if the Shakti is totally unmanifest, the power is totally unmanifest, we call it Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya or Avidya, Maya. The power is totally unmanifest, we call what? Moola Avidya, Maya. Prakritihi, Pradhanam. How many words? Prakritihi, Pradhanam, Moola Avidya, because Moola Avidya, Maya. When the power is totally unmanifest, there is no Jnanam. Can you say Jnanam is absent? No. The power is totally unmanifest also. There is reality Brahma lending existence to its own inseparable power, unmanifest power, known as Maya. The totally unmanifest, or totally manifest, or partially unmanifest, or partially manifest, the power doesn't have independent existence of its own. In fact, power is not at all countable as an independent parallel reality or entity. Inseparable. In fact, power is not even recognizable, accessible when it is unmanifest. When the power is, not only the power is non-recognizable, it's unmanifest, the reality also is non-recognizable when the power is unmanifest. The reality itself becomes recognizable only when its power becomes manifest. So when the power is totally unmanifest, also the power enjoys its existence only in the reality. So power, the truth of the power, swarupam of the power is the reality. Shakti swarupam is chaitanyam. Shakti swarupam is chaitanyam. The swarupam, the truth of the power is the reality, the consciousness. I use the word consciousness because not pure knowledge. So originally, when the power is unmanifest, what is pure, the reality in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. The power is partially manifest also, the reality is pure knowledge. The power is totally manifest also, the reality is always pure knowledge. So source of the power is knowledge. The source of the Shakti is what is that which is endowed with the power? What is the source of the power? Is the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. So pure knowledge is, reality is the pure knowledge. It is this pure knowledge which is the source of power. And the manifest power is called jnanam. Unmanifest power is called ajnanam, avidya. Again I said, partial manifestation is there and partial unmanifest is there. Power is unmanifest partially. Still we call it avidya jnanam. With the totally unmanifest, we call it maya. And for the partial unmanifest to become manifest, there must be partial manifestation, isn't it? Never is there total manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the reality implied by the term Brahma is ever of the nature of limitlessness. And now we can understand the Jagat, the external world of objects, enjoy in terms of forms, names and functions, time and space. Time is an intangible, formless factor, the word we use, and the space, and all the rest of the world of forms, names and functions which constitute the world, existing in the realm of time and space, this whole world is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifests this world. The whole inert material forms, names and functions are knowledge. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It is giving vision. You must see as I'm talking to you. And this knowledge in the form of the world presupposes knowledge in the form of the very self. Knowledge, what that I am, the world is, I am. So I am is also what? Manifestation of knowledge of the self. The world is also manifestation of the knowledge of the world, the manifestation of knowledge. I am, world is. Both these are both twofold manifestations of the only reality. And this knowledge is only a partial manifestation. I am, the world is only partial manifestation of knowledge. Still there is power which has yet to become manifest. That unmanifest, partially unmanifest power which is yet to become manifest, which can become manifest, is in terms of what I am, thereby what this universe is. If you know you are, you can know the world is. If you know what you are, you know the what the world is. See, knowing what I is knowing what this world is. Knowing I am is knowing the world is. So knowing what I am is knowing what this world is. In knowing what I am, thereby in knowing what the world is, knowledge is total. Total manifestation. Is it clear now? So mere knowledge of the existence, knowledge of the existence is partial manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge of the existent is total manifestation of knowledge. So knowing I am, knowing the world is knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, is only partial manifestation of knowledge. When there is only partial manifestation of knowledge, there is still partial unmanifest power. And as a human being endowed with this unique instrument of knowledge called buddhi, intellect, with the help of the pramanam called shastram, when we analyze, use all these prakriyas, and we understand, we arrive at what this manifest knowledge is. What is the source of manifestation? When you arrive at this, when you understand what I am, what to arrive at as the source of I am, through analysis, is inexplicable, formless, most intangible, abstract, subtlest. No word can be used to say what it is. Only we can say there is reality, there is something, there is something which is there even when the knowledge of the existence of the self is not there, when even the power is totally unmanifest, there is something which is aware of the ignorance being there, power being unmanifest. The unmanifest power in terms of ajnanam being there is known. There's something which is aware of this ajnanam, and that is, you only understand it is something, that something which is the subtlest, most intangible, abstract, you is there and which knows. And you use the term jnanam because that reality is of the nature of knowing, therefore it knows. Only word we can use is jnanam. And another word is chaitanyam. Why is that abstract, formless, subtlest reality, inexplicable reality, which we cannot use any word to say what it is, and that word, that reality is conscious of ignorance being there, is conscious of knowledge being not there. Why is it conscious? Why is it aware? Why does it know? Because being conscious of what is its nature. Being aware of what is its nature. Knowing is its nature. That is why we use all these words. Chaitanyam, consciousness, pure knowledge. Now, here onward, we can use the term jnanam. Because we are used it, why is word is used. And it is this reality which is of the nature of knowing, alone is there when the power is totally unmanifest. The power is totally unmanifest. There is no distance between the power and the reality. Reality alone is there, having its power resolved, unmanifest. Then that reality is Brahma. Okay, what is Brahma? The reality, subtlest, abstract, formless reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, is Brahma, is of the nature of limitlessness. Why do we say it is the nature of limitlessness? Because reality is, then the power is totally unmanifest. When the power is totally unmanifest means there is no knowledge. No knowledge means what? There is no manifest knowledge. Power is unmanifest means pure knowledge is the source of the power, and as the source of unmanifest power, the reality in terms of pure knowledge, pure consciousness is as the powerful, unmanifest powerful, okay, as the source of the unmanifest power, as the powerful reality, Brahman is. There is no time. Okay, listen now. There is no time. When the power is totally unmanifest, there cannot be time. The factor called time is not there. Kalaha nasti. Please see now. You all have to see from the standpoint of consciousness alone now. It is really giving vision. The standpoint of consciousness, you got to see, the power is totally unmanifest. Therefore, the power is in the form of ajnanam. When this totally power is totally unmanifest, there is no time. There is no space, there is no world of plurality. There is no subject-object division. There is no knower-known division. Therefore, there is no duality. There is no world of plurality. There are no forms, names and functions. There is no time and space. Time has to be there, space has to be there for the magnification of the world of forms, names and functions. Where is time? Unmanifest. Where is space? Unmanifest. Where is the world? Unmanifest. Where is duality? Unmanifest. Where is plurality? Unmanifest. Everything is unmanifest. You say unmanifest, unmanifest, unmanifest. What does it mean? Everything is in the form of unmanifest power. And that power is in reality. Okay? Therefore, this power is called material cause. The world is called effect. And the source of the power, without which power cannot exist independently, is said to be the intelligent cause. Therefore, when the power is manifest, along with the recognizability of the powerful also becomes recognizable. Therefore, the whole world is what? Jnanam. I am knowledge. The world is knowledge. I am the Shakti. Because manifest Shakti is Jnanam. The whole world is Shakti. The two ways of seeing. I am knowledge. The whole world is knowledge. Because I am the manifest power. The whole world is manifest power. But the knowledge is only of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. And this knowledge of the existence, which is manifestation of the power, okay, knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, which is manifestation of the power, only partial manifestation. And with the help of the Shastra Pramanam, when we understand the source of this manifestation of the power in terms of knowledge, we want the source of knowledge. What is knowledge here? Manifest power known by the term knowledge. We want to know the source of this manifest power in terms of knowledge. We want the source of manifestation, source of knowledge. Then we understand what knowledge is. That in the what I am, when you understand, what it is also becomes understood as it were. The world is understood as it were. Then knowledge is total. Total manifestation. Knowledge is, the power is totally manifest, then there is no more avidya, ajnanam. There is only knowledge. Knowledge is total, and the source of this total knowledge is the reality, the pure knowledge. So when there's total manifestation of knowledge also, reality, Brahman, is of the nature of limitlessness. When it's total, the power of reality totally unmanifest also, reality is of the nature of limitlessness. Because time, space and the world non-recognizably there, when the power is unmanifest in reality. And time, space and the world recognizably is there when the power is manifest. Doesn't matter whether the power is manifest or unmanifest. Time, space and the world. In fact, time and space are the world. But I mean separating because of its subtleness. Time, space and the tangible world. Manifest or unmanifest. Never does it have existence outside of reality. Therefore, reality is ever of the nature of limitlessness. Free from all limitations, therefore implied by the word Brahma. So the knower of Brahman is none other than Brahma. And knower of Brahma knows this individual, knows its own self, knows the world, and the known world, the known self, are all knower Brahma. Known world is Brahma, known self is also Brahma. Therefore, knower known divisions are Brahma. Knower known knowledge divisions are Brahma. But Brahman is free from all divisions, all differences. Now, from the standpoint of this reality implied by the term Brahma, which you arrive at in terms of its nature of consciousness, please see where are the differences. Where are the differences? Please see now. Now you have to see, right now in the class you have to see. All the differences are only within the realm of manifestation. And a manifestation is nothing but the power. Therefore, all the seeming differences are nothing but power. The power is nothing but divisionless, difference-free consciousness. So, divisions are all within the realm of manifest power. Therefore, there is no such a thing called matter other than the power. And you resolve the original matter in the form of power. Power itself is inexplicably subtlest. And the source of power is much subtler than the subtlest. And now we can say this, there is no power other than the source of the power. Therefore, there is no matter other than consciousness. You must be able to see in the light of the clear vision this most tangible, grossest universe of grossest forms, names and functions is nothing but most intangible, subtlest consciousness. If you understand it correctly, now the whole world of plurality is nothing but manifestation of power of the reality, which is called jnanam. The whole world is jnanam. The whole world is knowledge. What about the, when you say whole world is jnanam, you have to include the order. Order is jnanam. The functions are jnanam. The will is jnanam. The knowledge of dharma is jnanam. Values are jnanam. Adharma is also jnanam. Order, all the activities are jnanam. All the functions are jnanam, means mentation is jnanam. All the emotions are jnanam. Cognitions, knowledge, etc. are jnanam. Physiological functions are jnanam. The subtle motions happening in inert beings, are all jnanam. Molecular motion, etc. And the reaction of on actions, results of actions are all jnanam. Experience of emotions, pairs of opposites, jnanam. Hope you understand. Experience is jnanam. Jnanam is not experience. Jnanam. All the movements are jnanam. Mobility is jnanam. Differences are jnanam. Divisions are jnanam. Subtle is jnanam. Gross is jnanam. Everything is jnanam. When you say everything is jnanam, means everything is manifest power. And the source of power is pure jnanam. And understand, the pure jnanam, pure knowledge, pure consciousness, the source of power, the manifest power called jnanam, is of the nature of unmoving changelessness. It is this. If time doesn't exist outside of consciousness, means time is pervaded by consciousness. Space doesn't exist outside of consciousness, means space is pervaded by consciousness. The whole world is pervaded by consciousness. Therefore, nothing exists outside, means everything is pervaded by consciousness in and through. That is why there is nothing bigger than consciousness reality. That is why it is implied by the term Brahma. Brihattamatvat Brahma. Now where are you? Where are you? This is called intellectual knocking of ahankara. Okay, intellectual blow, cognitive blow, blast. Okay, only Brahma. Now, this manifest power itself is mithya. Manifest power known by the term jnanam, knowledge, is also mithya. Why? The source of manifest power, source of the power, unmanifest or manifest, source of the power, the pure jnanam alone is satyam. Satyam Brahma. Absolute reality is this pure knowledge, the source of the power. Called manifest power is called jnanam, unmanifest power called jnanam. For this jnana, jnana yoho, source. Now you all know dual. Jnana, jnana yoho, swarupam. The source of unmanifest and manifest. We don't need to say unmanifest and manifest. It's only one power. Manifest is called jnanam. Unmanifest is called jnanam. The source is pure jnanam, which alone is satyam. And it is the source of the power. the obtaining of pure knowledge implied by the term Brahman alone is Satyam. The power, unmanifest power is also Mithya. Manifest power is also Mithya. Because power, manifest or unmanifest, doesn't have independent existence outside of Satyam. Therefore, the whole world, time is Mithya, space is Mithya, Jagat is Mithya. Whatever is Jnanam, 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 we understood until now, the whole Jnanam is Mithya. Manifest power known by the term Jnanam is Mithya. The source of Jnanam, manifest power, the pure Jnanam alone is Satyam. Which means, all the movements are also Mithya. Mithya means seeming. That is why the whole world is... I always like one expression which I have been using from the time I started teaching Mandukya Upanishad. The entire world is, you can say, the entire creation. Where there is Jiva Jagad Bheda, Jiva Jagad Ishwara Bheda, all these differences and divisions, the whole universe with all the differences is nothing but seeming apparent motion in motionless consciousness, Brahma. I tell you, to do this class today like this, I must have done all the classes before. Suddenly you can't listen to this class like this. So this much we need to understand from Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary upon one sentence, Aham Brahmasmi. That is why we use this term, absolute reality. Other than this pure knowledge, the reality through analysis arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing as the truth of I, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is the absolute reality. And whatever in your perception and experience, whatever you say is relatively real. What is real for you is other, for others also is real. It is objectively real. What is real only for you is subjectively real. And subjectively real or objectively real, any reality is relative, not the absolute. And if we mistake this what is relatively real to be absolutely real, that is called adhyasa, shobhana adhyasa. Overvaluing. That is why we always pray clear vision, clear vision. The expression, see, ikshanam is also seeing. Darshanam is also seeing. Drish dhatu, noun is what? Darshanam. Iksh dhatu, ikshanam. And here, you see through distortion-free, clear eyesight, vision, you see the colors, light, the shapes and forms clearly. Similarly, to see this, there is no Shakti other than the outside of the reality. And the Shakti manifest is this Jnanam, unmanifest is Ajnanam. Avyakta Shakti is Ajnanam, Vyakta Shakti is Jnanam. When the Shakti is Vyaktam, Vyakta Shakti, Shakti power is manifest, the Jagat, Bhati. When the power is Avyakta, Shakti is Avyakta, Shakti unmanifest, Najnanam, Jagat na Bhati. That's all. So, reality does not create the universe. But universe can never enjoy existence without the power of reality becoming manifest. Is it clear? Including time and space. Dependent. That is why nothing else can have, has the status of being the absolute reality. Everything is relative. Nothing is absolute other than the pure knowledge. That's why it's implied by the term Brahma. There's nothing bigger than that reality. Brihattamam, the biggest, greatest. And here, we do not destroy anything, we do not undo anything. In the light of the clear vision of what this reality is, we can see how nothing is outside of this reality. Is called seeing through the eye of knowledge. Is it clear? Seeing through the eye of knowledge. You see, nothing is outside. So, in what form does the reality obtain, absolute reality? Only in the form of pure knowledge. Ulahanettum odunguhayil, odungiyadai unarhindra unarvu mattume parambarul. So the more I understand, the more my reverence just goes to Manikyavachakar to have given that one word, Nunvunarvu. Now, hereafter, if you go to the temples, you can listen to every word describing the Lord. Vendu Archana. Any temple you go to, you happen to listen to the Archana, where they recite 108 names of the Lord, every word, every name of the Lord is a word implying reality in a given nature. Now, when you resolved yourself in Bhagavan, in the truth, Brahma, resolve the world cognitively in Brahma, is there a Lord other than this Brahma? Tell me. There is no Ishvara Bhagavan other than Brahma. It is called Jiva Jagat Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. Finished. Jiva Jagat Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. Knowledge of oneness of the truth of the individual, the total, and the Lord. There is no Lord other than the truth. Lord is in the form of both the Jiva and the Jagat. The Jiva and the Jagat together are the Lord. Jiva, Jagat are resolved, Lord is also resolved. What is only Brahma. And look at it and see, the Lord, Ishvara, what do you say? That which is there as the knower experiencer is para prakriti. That which is there in him of known is apara prakriti. The knower Brahma is para prakriti. The known Brahma is apara prakriti. The knower is intelligent cause. The known is the material cause. And the knower and the known are nothing but manifestations of the knowledge. Is it clear? So there is no Ishvara other than Brahma. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.